welcome you to our services on this Lord's Day morning. It's a beautiful day outside, and we're so glad you're here this morning. We want to acknowledge those who are our visitors today. We are always thrilled to be able to welcome our guests to Del Rada, and we hope that we treat you in a way that you'll want to come back and you'll want to worship with us anytime you have an opportunity. There's been some birthdays that have been mentioned this morning, but Martha Green has a birthday today. She's 68. I'm sorry, got them backwards, 86. I'm sorry. Anyhow, happy birthday to her. Also, we mentioned Brother Floyd Gray's birthday. He'll be 95 on Wednesday. And I think this is a surprise for Brother Gray, just a little bit. At least I think it's a surprise. The flowers, I've already heard several comments on the flowers that are behind me. Those were given by Sister Frances in honor of Brother Floyd's 95th birthday. And if you're like me, you never hope to see 95, but it is a great honor for him, and we appreciate so much Brother and Sister Gray, and we appreciate all that they do and all that they mean to each of us. This morning, we're also very, very happy to announce that Kyle and Hannah Bursler desire to place their membership with us here at Del Rada, and we are certainly thrilled to be able to welcome them here. And I would like to ask them to stand if they would. They're over here to my right, and I hope that after services are dismissed today that you'll welcome them as well as the other families who have recently placed their membership with us. This morning, I want us to talk about the marvel of divine forgiveness. I want you to listen very, very carefully this morning to the reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says there, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." What a glorious hope this passage offers to the sinner. When Paul wrote this, he was filled with wonder and amazement and adoration. Paul was just simply overwhelmed by the thought that God was willing to forgive man's sins and make it possible for sinful man to be brought back into his fellowship. Now, Paul knew enough about the nature of God and the guilt of sin to know that any reconciliation at all between God and the sinner would absolutely have to be the greatest demonstration of divine love and grace and mercy that anyone could possibly imagine. In adoration, in praise, in great excitement, Paul joyfully proclaimed to the world this great news. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new." Did you notice the word there, behold? Behold, all things are become new. The idea suggested by that word is you need to stop, look, and listen. This is something you need to pay attention to. In essence, Paul is saying here, this is something to really get excited about. What gets you excited today? I know there's some things that get you excited. Maybe it's when your team scores a touchdown. You get excited about that. I know hunting season is right around the corner, and many of you men are getting ready for the hunting season. And what happens when you're in that tree stand and that animal, that deer, walks out and you have him in the crosshairs of your scope? You're getting cold chills right now just thinking about that. You get excited. Or maybe you get excited when that job that you've been anticipating really works out. Or maybe you get the news that you're going to have a baby. Or you think about children at Christmas time. They get really, really excited. To me, there's almost nothing more exciting than watching your kids play sports. I have a video. I try to video my kids from time to time playing, and I have several good videos of them doing good things on the field of play, but you can't see it. All you see is the ground. And in the background, you hear me shouting, "Go, run, go." But in the excitement, I forget to hold the camera up where it needs to be. All you get is the ground. We get excited about those kinds of things. Now, to the Apostle Paul, the good news of divine reconciliation was something truly exciting. How thrilling to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The very thought of this thing seemed to just sweep Paul off his feet. Now I ask you this morning, how does this strike you? Do you see anything unusual about what God has done for you and for me? Is it really something that you can marvel at? Do you really today understand what all's involved? Understanding is very, very important. I know I'm sitting in the stands listening to the band play. My daughter's in the band and my son's on the football field. And I overheard something the other night that was rather humorous. Somebody said as they were doing the cheer, "Get six, get six, get six." Somebody made the statement, "What does that mean?" And they had to be explained to that means you score a touchdown. You know, understanding's important, isn't it? I know about 15 years ago, a whole new world opened up to my wife when she learned what a first down was in a football game. You know, understanding something is very, very important. Understanding divine forgiveness is very, very important. And I'm afraid that a lot of people today really don't understand what is truly involved in divine forgiveness. And before we can really see the wonder and the marvel of divine forgiveness, we're going to have to understand enough about God and his nature and sin and its nature to realize that some penalty had to be paid for the guilt of sin. Now, God's nature is such that sin cannot go uncondemned, and yet God offers to forgive our sins. And I want us to stop this morning and I want us to give some serious thought to it that we might begin to really understand just how marvelous and wonderful divine forgiveness really is. I want us to first of all this morning consider man's own status. just how does man stand before Almighty God? You know, we need to realize, first of all, this morning, that man has sinned against God. And man stands guilty before God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one, Romans 3 and verse 10. The Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so we need to realize that sin is a very serious thing, and yet these passages clearly tell us that we are all guilty of sin. Now, do you realize what this means? It means that we have been offensive to God because sin is offensive to God's nature, to his dignity, to his holiness, to his love. It is offensive to God's very being. Now, why is sin so offensive to God? Because when one sins, he defies God. He turns his back on God. He rebels against God. Sin, therefore, is terrible because its very presence is in opposition to God. We simply cannot oppose God and remain in his fellowship. It's for this reason the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. There isn't anything that is more foreign to God or more completely against God as sin. Now, since sin is so offensive to God, since sin causes man to oppose God, brings man in rebellion to God, since sin is so foreign to God and so completely against God, breaks man's fellowship with God, sin therefore merits. Sin deserves infinite and everlasting punishment. There is a penalty for sin that must be paid. Mankind is guilty of sin, and guilt deserves penalty, not pardon. Pardon of guilt is an act of mercy and not pardon, not merit. Pardon of sin is going to have to come through God's mercy. It can't come through human merit. It can't come through anything that we might do. And that just simply means that each of us would be forever doomed. Each of us would be in a state of hopelessness and helplessness were it not for divine justification. But somebody may say in the next place, how can there be justice and justification at the same time? Since sin merits infinite punishment, can God be induced just to let man off without punishment? Well, the answer is no. Not until satisfaction has been given and the debt paid. Well, how can this debt be paid? Mankind cannot pay this debt. The writer says in Hebrews 10 and verse 4 that it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. There isn't any sacrifice that man can make. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of gold that can be given that we can offer as a payment for that debt. Well, how then can that debt be paid? God, through Christ, has paid that debt for us. Christ has stepped in and suffered what he himself need not suffer at all, and by his sacrifice on the cross, he has offered before God infinite compensation for the infinite wrong done by man. Now here is the marvel of divine forgiveness. You know, we must keep in mind this morning that God is a God of justice as well as a God of justification. Now, how can this be? Divine justice calls for the punishment of sin, while divine justification provides a pardon for sins. Now, how can God condemn sin on the one hand and at the same time forgive the sinner? Now, God's nature is such that he simply cannot let man off without punishment until satisfaction has been given and the debt been paid. And through the sacrifice of our Lord, satisfaction has been given. The debt has been paid. The cross, then, has propitiated God. Christ is said to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2 and verse 2. Now, what does this mean? The word propitiation means that which satisfies. And so Christ's death has propitiated. That is, it has satisfied both divine justice and divine justification. I want you to note carefully what Paul said in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 24. Paul said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. And then I want you to notice this phrase and two key words here. That he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ Jesus. You see, only through the sacrifice of the cross could God be just in condemning sin, and at the same time be the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. You know, in one of Isaiah's prophecies concerning the cross, he would say that God would see the travail. God would see the agony of Christ's soul, and he shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53 and verse 11. He said the pleasure of the Lord would prosper in Christ's hand. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. And so divine justice and divine justification were both satisfied or propitiated through the death of Christ on the cross. And so what does the cross really mean to us? You know, in the cross of Christ, I think we can see three things. First of all, in the cross, we see the condemnation of sin. After viewing Calvary, no person can ever say that sin does not matter to God. It matters very much to him. If sin didn't matter to God, then there would be no explanation at all for the terrible and agonizing and excruciating death that our Lord had to endure on Calvary's cross. Also on the cross, I think we can see the revelation of divine love. We see a love there that we cannot possibly fathom with our finite minds. 1 John 4 and verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, to walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us. In Romans 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What a revelation of love is seen in the cross of Christ. I think a third thing that we can see in the cross of our Lord is the gift of salvation. Salvation from God is a free gift, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. You see, the good news of the gospel is that God, through Jesus Christ, has taken the sinner's place, paid the debt, paid the penalty for us, and he has suffered on the cross that which we would have had to suffer eternally. The experience of the cross was but a foretaste of hell itself. The terrible darkness, the suffering of thirst, the agony of the soul, the torture, the cry of desertion, the excruciating pain were all but a foretaste of what man would have had to suffer and experience in hell. Now, why did our Lord have to go through that awful experience on Calvary? The answer is, he did it for us. Only in this way could divine justice be satisfied in the paying of sin's penalty, and only in this way could divine justification be satisfied and man be let off without having to pay that penalty himself. And it's truly amazing. It's marvelous that all this should be done for you and done for me. And oh, how our hearts today ought to be filled with wonder and praise and adoration when we realize what it actually took for sinful man to be brought back into God's fellowship. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. No wonder Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder then, in the next place, that the provisions that have been made because of the cross are truly amazing to think about? As a result of the death of Christ on the cross, think about what has been made possible. Propitiation, redemption, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to God. Think about these things for just a moment. First of all, a propitiation has been provided. You see, before things could ever be made right between sinful man and the Holy Father of Heaven, the demands of both divine justice and divine justification had to be satisfied. And through the offering of Jesus Christ, those demands have been satisfied. Man himself could not have done this. It had to be an act of God himself. And were it not for the propitiation that God made possible, there would have been absolutely no release at all from the eternal penalty of human guilt. Here is the marvel of divine forgiveness. Another thing that God through Christ has provided for us is redemption. And we know that before one can ever be redeemed, a ransom must be paid. And that just simply means that our liberation from sin came at a great cost. Jesus came to give himself as a ransom for many, Mark 10 and verse 45. That is, Jesus Christ came to this earth to liberate man from sin. All have sinned, therefore all are in bondage to sin. And before we can ever be made free from sin, a redemption price has to be paid. And there's absolutely no redemption that man himself can ever pay to be liberated from the bondage of sin. But you see, Christ has paid that redemption price for us. Our redemption is in Christ, Romans 3 and verse 24. It's with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot and without blemish, that we have been redeemed, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Nothing else could have done it. Here's the marvel of divine forgiveness. A third thing that God through Christ has provided for us is the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, Colossians 1 verse 14, through his blood. And notice the phrase there, even the forgiveness of our sins. What does this mean, the forgiveness of sins? The word in the original language here that is translated forgiveness simply means dismissal. It means release, pardon, the passing of a debt. How wonderful. But how can God just dismiss, pardon, release? How can he just pass by this debt that we owe when his very nature is such that he demands a payment of that debt? You see, only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ could it be possible. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, Hebrews 9 and verse 22. It took the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ to bring about the remission of our sins. Christ's death made it possible for us today to be released from an unpayable debt. What an unfathomable love that our God has for us. What an act of mercy on God's part. God has done something for us that we could have never done by ourselves. Here is the marvel of divine forgiveness. A fourth thing that God has done for us through Christ is that he has provided reconciliation. Now, because of sin, mankind was estranged from God. But the amazing thing about all this is that a willing God seeks to bring an unwilling man back into his fellowship. Now, how can all this be done? Well, only through Christ is this possible. The only thing that could possibly bring about this reconciliation is what God has done for us. The mighty and matchless love of God. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, Hebrews 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, for he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as we close today, I want to suggest to you that we need to just stop and consider the wonder of it all. The most amazing thing to me about God's pardon is that God sent his only begotten Son, who needed no forgiveness at all for himself. He needed no redemption at all for his own sins. He needed no reconciliation on his own behalf. But he suffered in our stead. He offered himself as a sacrifice for our atonement, and even to experience, as it were, a foretaste of hell as a payment for our guilt. Who's ever heard of such a love as this? Who would ever defy this love of God or deny this God of love? And the worst of all ingrates today is that individual who, in view of everything that God has done for him, would still question or quibble at anything that God has demanded of him. Divine forgiveness today is provided through the wonderful mercy of God. And yet, God's forgiveness is conditional. It's offered to everyone who will accept it and meet the conditions of it. And whenever one meets God's conditions, he's not in any way earning the forgiveness of his sins, because guilt of sin deserves pardon. I should say it deserves penalty and not pardon. And no matter how many conditions of pardon there might be, pardon is still always an act of mercy and not merit. For instance, faith. Faith is a condition of our forgiveness. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Now, whenever one believes, is he earning this forgiveness? Well, not in the least. He's simply putting his trust in him through whose mercy salvation has been offered. Or what about repentance and baptism? Aren't these conditions of our forgiveness today? Most certainly they are. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, when one repents of his sins, when one is baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, does he earn that forgiveness? Certainly not. He's simply submitting and surrendering himself to him in whom there is redemption. There isn't anything that man can do to earn salvation. But there's something that he must do if he's going to accept the salvation that our God has so graciously provided. I ask you today, have you done that? If not, I plead with you today to do so immediately. Don't delay, don't wait. How great is God's forgiveness to offer that which we do not deserve? The very thought of it ought to overwhelm us with wonder and awe and amazement. May God help each one of us in our worldly society that we live, in the entertainment-driven society that is a part of our lives today, in a time in which we want satisfaction immediately. May it be the case that somehow, some way, we come to more fully appreciate the marvel of divine forgiveness. This morning, the invitation is yours if you're subject to it.